The fourth reading is from Isaiah 54, that is 2nd Isaiah. This goes another chapter. This is a promise, but it is so powerful and so endearing, huh? I don't know why the NAB wants to put in, I respect that there's a reason for it. Boalaik. Well, I guess I see why. The one who espouses you is your maker. That's the mystical marriage, isn't it? How many people get there in this life? And so many more of us would get there if we just obeyed him. Instead of fooling around and wasting time and arguing. And that mystical marriage means he's our spouse. He's our life. Even the breath we take, even the thoughts we think are all moved by the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be beautiful? So that's what he's saying. The one who has become your husband is your maker. His name is the Lord Adonai of hosts. Huh? Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. All of these words that are so technical, huh? And so beautiful. Your Goelek is your Gaal, your Goel, really. Gaal means to rescue. The Goel is my closest relative. So that if I get thrown in jail, he has to come and get me out. Because he's my Goel. Or if I get killed, he has to go kill the guy that killed me. And who is your Goel? Oh, it's my cousin Joe. No, it's Jesus Christ. He is your cousin. He is your Goel. He's your Redeemer. The only one that could get you out of the trouble that you were in. You were in trouble. You were on your way to eternal darkness. And there wasn't a thing you could do about it. And your Goel came in and took all that punishment and got you free of it. And that's what this text is all about. Already in anticipation in this prophecy of Isaiah, you see, your maker has become your husband, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, your Goel, you see, and he's called, and the text says here, you see, he's called the God of all the earth. Now, the text goes on. This is all words of consolation and encouragement, not only for those getting baptized, for everybody there to realize the power of the resurrection. You can step out of death into life because you have been redeemed by Christ. Lay hold of it. And if you've sinned seriously since baptism, go to confession, the second plank. So that your life is saved. And that's what he's saying here, you see. The Lord calls you back. You see, as a wife who was forsaken and so forth, you see. A wife married in youth and then cast off. For a brief moment I abandon you, but with great tenderness I will take you back. In an outburst of wrath, for a moment, I hid my face from you. But with enduring love, I will take pity on you, says the Lord, Goelka, again, your Redeemer. This is for me, this is God talking to his people, who are humiliated, they're in exile, and he's promising them redemption. And so he says, this is for me like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah should never again deluge the earth. So I have sworn not to be angry with you or to rebuke you. Phew. God says, just like there's going to be, the world will never be destroyed again by flood, I will never be that angry or rebuke you that way anymore. Come to me so that I can change you. And we're all standing there listening to this with the people who just got baptized. Here's our chance to get rebaptized, to renew our vows, you see? Though the mountains leave their place and the hills be shaken, my love shall never leave you. Isn't that beautiful? I'm trying to find out where it is in my text here. Okay. O afflicted one, storm-battered and unconsoled, I lay your pavements in carnelians. Now he's talking to Jerusalem. City, you know, destroyed, mocked, burnt, left in ruins, and all the people sent off to exile. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rebuild it. Your pavements will be carnelians, your foundations sapphire. I'll make your battlements on the walls rubies, your gates of carbuncle, and all your walls of precious stone. Where is that taking place? Isn't that heaven? Isn't that what the book of Revelation says? This is what the holy city looks like up there? It's that beautiful. You see? All your children shall be taught by the Lord. Remember when our Lord uses that line? In John 6, and they will all be taught by God. Do you know what that means? That if we really wanted to go to school to God, He would teach us. If we would really be faithful to prayer, if we would really apply ourselves to the Scriptures, if we turn off that stupid TV and pay attention to God, you know, He would teach us. He would teach us. There's a promise in Isaiah 30. Your leader, your redeemer will be right in back of you, and He'll tell you, turn right, turn left. He'll do that for you. But we got to trust Him. He says, turn left, and you say, oh, I don't like going that way. But God told you to go that way. You see? And so that's what He's saying. I've sworn not to be angry with you or to rebuke you, though the mountains leave their place and the hills be shaken. My love shall never leave you, nor my covenant of peace be shaken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Now that is totally fulfilled this very night, when God makes that covenant with those baptized people. And if they want it, this is true. And we who have been baptized and sinned and confessed, and here we are, from now on, take this seriously. What else have you got to do with your time? You got to, you know, make a living and raise the kids and all that. But you've got to pay attention to God. You don't try to squeeze God into your spare moments. He doesn't do that to you. And so, you see, you've got to listen to this program that ought to follow from the Paschal Vigil, you see. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. That's the church. If we right now, we in the church, would turn to God and learn from Him and obey Him, even at this moment of total disaster and impending disaster, the world would change. It's up to us, my friends. In justice shall you be established, far from the fear of oppression, where destruction cannot come near you. Isn't that beautiful? This is a promise, in a way, you see, that the people will rise. This is what's said, for instance, there in Hosea, and we will, you know, have life again on the third day, which is there a poetic phrase, but it's still, as Professor Dodd pointed out, when Christ rose, all of Israel rose. That's the promise. Now they have to lay hold of that promise. Come to Him. And we have to help them. Stop making it worse for them. Love them. They still share flesh with Christ. You see? That's why C.H. Dodd made that remark, you see. Yes, when Christ rose from the dead, all Israel rose, as the promise, you know. Now, they have to lay hold of that promise. It's like, I don't know what it's like. It's like a down payment. God says, through Paul, that the Holy Spirit is the aravon. He's the down payment. He's the pledge. It's like I buy a car. They say, all right, here's $3,000. I'll be back. That's my aravon. That's my pledge, right? I'll be back. I mean, I've just invested, right? Okay. So God says, I'm going to give you eternal life. Here's my Holy Spirit. I'll be back. Aravon. Down payment. And we can reject that down payment, sin against Him. But if we don't, we have within us to be experienced and to give us power, the down payment on God's full gift of eternal life. And that's what's being said here, you see. In justice shall be established, far from the fear of oppression, for destruction cannot come near you. Now, you see why that text is taken. It's a promise of restoration to everybody there. Those who just got baptized, those who haven't been to church since the last Easter, you know, the Lord is saying, come, stop living like that. And I hope all the preachers will say that. Folks, we're thrilled to have you. But we'd love to see you every week. You have no idea what is going on here. You get a little bit of an idea. But if you had a real idea, you'd be breaking down the doors to get in. Come. Jesus is inviting you. You see? And so that's the way that text goes. And it's given us because it is such a promise of restoration. That's why the church, of all the texts that could have been chosen, that one is chosen. And then along with it goes this Psalm 30, I will extol you, Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. I was on the way to hell, and you stopped me, turned me around, brought me back. I have these brothers and sisters. I can praise God with them, listen to your word every Sunday, read it every day, and feed on the body and blood of your Son, all because you drew me clear. You didn't leave me where I was. I still got friends back there, and I know what they're going through, so I'm really grateful to you, God. Amen.